Wisconsin was at the center of a controversy last week following the publication of an expose by the U.S. arm of the Guardian newspaper over the influence of money in politics, especially during two contentious campaigns in Governor Walker's political career.
In the wake of the controversy, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's editorial board published a piece calling for politicians to be more transparent when it comes to campaign contributions. And we'd like to hear from you. What was your reaction to the John Doe email leak last week? And should political officials be more transparent about where their campaign contributions come from? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
David D. Haynes joins us now. He's the editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. David, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, you start off your piece looking at two examples of corporate money donated to the conservative group Wisconsin Club for Growth, where it supported the governor and other Republicans in the recall elections. And that's followed by two instances of the Republican-controlled legislature passing laws that seem to expressly benefit those companies. Can you refresh us on those stories?
Yeah, sure. And keep in mind that the only reason that we know about this is in the first case, we learned about the mining company, the Taconite company, and those donations, only because the federal court in Chicago inadvertently put these documents up on their website briefly, and reporters who were monitoring the case happened to see them. And in the second case, we know about it. This is involving the maker of lead, which was once used in paint. We know about that because it was leaked to The Guardian. So what we have advocated for is that the public ought to have transparency about who's contributing to third-party groups. We ought to know who's trying to influence the government. In these cases, in the first case, the mining company wanted to get a loosening of the state's mining laws so that they could open an open-pit mine, iron mine, up in northern Wisconsin. As it turned out, they walked away from that project, but they got what they wanted when the legislature later did just that. In the other case, the billionaire owner of a company that made lead that was formerly used in paint gave $750,000 to the Club for Growth in an effort during Governor Walker's recall election campaign, in an effort to help the governor during that campaign. Later and before, lawmakers acted to help this company. And in one case, went so far as to insert a provision that was, they were warned, was unconstitutional. So as we point out in the editorial, there's no smoking gun here. It's not like you can say, draw a direct line from the contributions to the action. But in our view, there's plenty of smoke.
And you say that you want to know, are these coincidences or evidence of something darker? And the smoke that you're talking about to you raises big questions. What are the big questions that you want answered?
Well, we would love to see a couple of things. First, more disclosure for outside groups. Right now, when deep-pocketed donors of any political persuasion decide to give to so-called social welfare groups like Wisconsin Club for Growth and others, they can do that anonymously, and they can give pretty much as much as they want. We think that disclosure and transparency regarding those donors would be helpful. It would be helpful to know who is trying to influence the government. Secondly, the John Doe case that came before the state Supreme Court and was decided in July of 2015, that was the lawsuits that were brought by the targets of the investigation into whether there was any illegal activity involved in the campaigns. The state Supreme Court shut down the John Doe case. Now, the prosecutors, as you know, have appealed their case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we think that there might be grounds for that. We would love to see the U.S. Supreme Court take it up. For a couple of reasons. First of all, there are still, questions about how close is too close when it comes to campaign committees and outside groups, this question of coordination between the two. It's clear in the case of Governor Walker's recall election, his campaign committee was working very closely with outside groups, including Wisconsin Club for Growth. So what constitutes too close? When does coordination actually make them the same organization? And that matters in terms of whether you can regulate campaign expenditures. Second, there's an open question here about whether two members of the state Supreme Court, Justice David Prosser, who just retired, and Justice Michael Gableman, who wrote that decision in July of 2015, should have even heard the case. Their campaigns, when they ran for election, Justice Prosser in 2011, in the midst of the Act 10 controversy, received a lot of help from these outside groups. And there these groups are as litigants before them. So we would love to see the U.S. Supreme Court take the case and decide those questions.
And lastly, you're also wondering about that balance between disclosure of donors, and freedom of expression.
Well, that's right. The argument against disclosing donors to third-party groups, the argument that you hear is that it would tend to chill the free speech rights of those who are donating. In other words, they're speaking through their donations. And our view on that is twofold. First of all, it would do nothing to infringe upon their First Amendment right to speak. It might do something to infringe upon their right to give anonymously to influence government. And so we think that's a question that needs to be answered. And the balance here is between their right to give anonymously and the right of everyone else to know who's trying to influence the government.
We're talking to David D. Haynes right now. He's the editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This week they published an opinion piece calling for more transparency when it comes to how money donated to political causes is influencing politics. And wondering how this was received, Dave, as this went out to your readers. What kind of response have you gotten?
Well, I think it's generally, and we've written this in the past, and I think it's generally been positive. Our view and what I've heard from the readers I have heard from is that I think most voters would like to know more. We've published a couple of letters to the editor. We have a couple going in the paper in the coming days, which essentially say that. So I would say overall positive.
And you've made the case in this piece that there could be benefit here to the voters to know more about the money flowing into politics and what it might be influencing. But is there also a case to be made that there are benefits to the politicians themselves to these kinds of measures?
Well, I think there's the main benefit is to our political system. Right now, the political system is awash in dark money. And our view is that it's better for everyone, including the politicians themselves, if we know who is trying to influence the government. And I'd like to go back, if I could, to this question of coordination. There has been an argument, and our state Supreme Court essentially made it, that states cannot regulate the coordination between a campaign committee and outside groups, that to do so, unless that outside group is expressly advocating for a candidate, in other words, saying vote for or against, you can't do it. But, you know, Judge Rudolph Randa, who recently passed away, was also involved in a federal case involving the John Doe investigation. And the Seventh Circuit overturned his decision that essentially shut down the investigation. And in their decision, Judge Easterbrook said that, in fact, and I'm quoting here, there's a lively debate among judges and academic analysts over this question. The Supreme Court regularly decides campaign finance issues by closely divided votes, and no opinion issued by the Supreme Court or any court of appeals establishes clearly or otherwise that the First Amendment forbids regulation of coordination between campaign committees and issue advocacy groups, let alone that the First Amendment forbids even an inquiry into that topic. And so at the federal level, there's clearly some discussion going on about what can be done and what cannot be done. And our state Supreme Court has come down on one side, but again, getting back to one of the other points we made in the editorial, we would love to see the U.S. Supreme Court add some clarity on this question.
Do you think a piece like this published in a state newspaper will have any sway in getting the Supreme Court to pick up some questions like this?
Well, I can't say that the Supreme Court reads our newspaper, but I can say that this is a topic that's being discussed around the country, and that we know that the Supreme Court is looking into this case and apparently will decide shortly whether to take it up. So I will not take credit if that happens, but I will be pleased.
Now, we're at a time in history when Congress has record low approval ratings. We've got two candidates running for president with incredibly high unfavorable ratings as well. It seems as though we're in a period where people do feel disenchanted with politics. Do you think that clarifying some of these issues that you're writing about, money in politics, issues of recusal during court cases, do you think that could help turn the tide on that?
Well, I do think it could help do that. And, you know, if we want to talk briefly about the presidential election, we've called on both candidates to be more transparent in other ways. For example, we still don't know about Donald Trump's tax returns. We don't know what's in there. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both have been secretive in terms of their health records. We don't know enough about that. Unless you count the Dr. Oz appearance, which I don't. We don't know what Secretary Clinton was saying to Wall Street bankers when she spoke to them. So we've called on both the presidential candidates and our politicians here at home in Wisconsin to be more transparent on any number of levels. I might add that it's getting harder and harder for reporters to get records out of government, both at the state and federal levels. And so I think that has contributed to the sort of ennui that we have among the electorate about politics right now.
David DeHaines is with us now. He's the editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this week they published an opinion piece that we're talking about right now, calling for more transparency when it comes to things like money in politics.
And we'd like to hear from you. What was your reaction to the John Doe leak last week? Should more transparency be required when it comes to political donations? What, if anything, would you like to see changed? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We're continuing our conversation about the leaked John Doe emails made public last week by the Guardian newspaper, tying large political contributions to policies enacted by the Wisconsin government. And now a local editorial board is calling for more transparency when it comes to campaign contributions.
And we'd like to hear from you. Should government officials be more transparent when it comes to campaign contributions that they've received? What campaign reforms would you like to see happen, if any? And what about issues of recusal when it comes to the state Supreme Court justices? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking right now with David DeHaines. He's the editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the board published that piece this week calling for more transparency from elected officials when it comes to money in politics and issues like recusal when it comes to court cases, too. And Dave, you mentioned the leaks. You said it's getting harder for journalists to get their hands on some of these documents lately. What do you think about this new era that we seem to be in when things like leaks are driving some of the coverage and the accessibility of pieces of information that are later made available to the public?
Yeah. Well, clearly journalists have to be careful anytime they're dealing with a whistleblower or someone who wants to leak information. It's unclear where the Guardian got the documents, and there has been a call now from State Attorney General Brad Schimel, in fact joined by Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, who was the prosecutor in the Doe case, to try to track down who leaked the documents. again, let me return to something I said before. We would not know about these big contributors and what they ended up potentially getting for their money if it hadn't been for the leak and for the fact that the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals inadvertently put one of the documents on their website. I wanted to just mention briefly, too, that the U.S. Supreme Court has been open for many years to this idea of disclosure, that legislatures and Congress could require disclosure as sort of a disinfectant for the political process. Even in the Citizens United case, which many people have big problems with, even in that case, by an 8-1 vote, only Justice Thomas dissented from this portion of the decision. The justices agreed that Congress could require corporations to disclose their spending and require them to run disclaimers with their ads. As Justice Kennedy, who wrote the decision, wrote at that time, this is a quote, "Disclosure permits citizens and shareholders to react to the speech of corporate entities in a proper way." Now, clearly, when we're talking about outside groups, that's different. The facts are different, but the rationale, we believe, is the same.
And you mentioned Citizens United there, and just briefly, because I want to get to our callers, but are you really talking about some sort of overhaul or overturning of Citizens United?
Well, it could well be revisited, and that will depend, I think, entirely on the presidential election. If Hillary Clinton wins, it's likely that the majority in the court will change, and they might be more open to that. If Donald Trump wins, then the majority is likely to remain 5-4, and I have my doubts that there would be much interest in taking a case that would challenge that decision.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Terry first in Green Bay. Terry, hi.
Hello. I wanted to make a point regarding transparency. I think it's all well and good when it comes to anything that's giving. But I think we need to really skip past all of this and really move towards a system that's like in Great Britain. When it comes to financing, candidates only have a certain amount of time to campaign, and they only get a certain amount of funds from the government themselves to use and just take out private donations, period. Or I would think that even private donations can only come from districts where the voters would actually elect them.
Terry, thank you for that. And Dave, what do you say to that? Looking at, I mean, he's talking about pretty much completely overhauling the campaign finance system, and it's been hard to move the needle even a little here. What do you think about that?
Right. I think politically that would be very difficult to do. I think in theory and as a matter of ideally, it might be the right thing to do, but politically it's very difficult. And under our Constitution with First Amendment rights, as defined at least currently by our Supreme Court, I think it would likely hit that wall as well. But again, in the absence of that, if we can at least know who the donors are, even to outside groups, then I think we're a step ahead of where we are now.
And you've got this opinion piece out there, and obviously many people have read it, but do you think that citizens, voters themselves, are galvanized to approach their representatives and ask for reform, or ask at least for some clarification on some of these questions, like whether or not politicians can closely coordinate with outside groups? Are people motivated?
It's a great question. I'm not sure they are, and I think the simple reason is that these are pretty complicated issues, and they're not easily boiled down into a soundbite. And politicians of either party are reluctant to campaign on them because, in fact, they benefit.
And we have a caller to take now. We'll go with Phil in Bundy next. Phil, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share, Phil?
I think that everybody in this state is, and the whole country, is sick of the money in politics. And what I'd like to see is when a campaign contribution comes in, that half of it would go to the candidate, and half of it would go back to the municipality, like the county, state, or federal government, and go towards our deficit. That way the people that are paying to put these people in office are paying for their mistakes.
Interesting idea, Phil. Thank you for that. And Phil, Dave saying people are sick of money in politics and got some new ideas there. I mean, do you see any future where citizens could get involved in talking about new, fresh solutions and maybe the politicians would listen?
Well, I think it's going to have to come from citizens like Phil and others to work hard, to organize and to lobby their politicians to get something done. These are very tough issues, and it's hard, as you mentioned, Veronica, to move the needle. But the only way it's going to happen is for citizens to band together and make their voices heard. You know, we citizens can make a difference. We saw a year ago July when the Joint Finance Committee slipped a provision into the state budget at that time that would have gutted the state open records law, that citizens on both sides of the aisle rose up and demanded that they not do that, and in the end they backed down. So I think that's how it's going to have to happen. I don't think the politicians are likely to do it on their own.
Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
That was David D. Haynes, editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked about the opinion piece in the Journal Sentinel calling for more transparency.